listening to the Bug Bucks Podcast, hosted by Eric Bassett and Jake Klaus. Each week, they'll discuss ways to scale and grow your pest control company with a goal of helping you become a bug money millionaire.
I feel like we do a lot of what other pest control companies don't do here. Like, we specialize in termites, weeds, pest control, all that stuff. And then we also do bird work, but we do like a variety of like everything. So that kind of makes it easier for us because customers are like, we want to go with you because then it's, you do pest control and the termites and the weed control. So it's like a one-stop shop. We do like literally everything.
Welcome to the Bug Bucks Podcast, a podcast designed to help you become a bug money millionaire. Today's episode is brought to you by Bug Bucks Plus, the number one training and education platform designed to help you build and scale your pest control company. I am your host, Eric Bassett. And of course, as always, got my main man, Jake Klaus, here with me.
What's up, Eric and my Bug Bucksers? What's happening?
What's up, dude? This is awesome. We're actually recording from the Klaus house today.
Yep, we're in my living room.
Yeah.
Well, the kitchen's right behind us. But
same.
Yeah. So just a note, I didn't know you weren't saying it off the top of your head. I didn't know you were reading it. Because usually when we record the podcast, Eric is in one place, I'm in another place, and Eric's just like looking at the screen. So I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I thought that you had it memorized.
What's funny is I've said it like 1,000 times. So I feel like I do have it memorized, but I'm too scared to just go off script and just read it from my brain.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's why last night at dinner when you're rehearsing it, I was like, oh, Eric, he just hasn't memorized.
You got it, man. You sound great every single time. Yeah, that's because I read it.
Yeah, it's like word for word, verbatim. So, okay, now it makes sense.
Anyways, yeah, cool. So for today, we do have an awesome guest that you guys are all going to love. But before we bring them on, just want to remind everybody listening, the best way to receive new episodes is by subscribing to our show on your preferred podcast platform like Apple, YouTube, Audible, or Spotify. If you love the show, please leave us a rating and a review. Make sure to check out our Facebook group, Bug Bucks Plus. That is BUGBUX Plus. We've got over 4,000 other pest control owners in that group waiting to connect with you and share their thoughts. It's also the best way for you to share your feedback on our show and have your questions highlighted and discussed here on the podcast. So make sure you find us on Facebook and join the group. All right. So before I bring our guest on, I'm going to do a little bio here that I've got. And his name is Dagan, which is like Reagan, except with a D, right? We talked about this about 1,000 times. So Dagan Perry, who is the owner of Black Pearl Pest Control. Dagan has been in the pest control industry for 13 years and has owned Black Pearl Pest Control for the last 3 years. They specialize in termites, weeds, and general pest control, and they service the entire Phoenix Valley and surrounding areas, as well as a small branch about 2 hours east of Phoenix. Welcome to the show, Dagan. Happy to have you today. How you doing, man?
Good. Awesome. Loving the weather here in Arizona right now.
Dude, I bet you are. Yeah,
it'd be nice to have some warm weather.
I don't know if you can. It looks sunny from what you can see here, but right now it's a little bit cloudy for us in the Pacific Northwest, so yep. We're always jealous of you guys down in the Phoenix area.
Yeah. So we like talking about the weather, but it's making me jealous to hear about the nice weather in Phoenix. So I was just going to say, you know, Dagan like Reagan, I was thinking before the show started that, you know, if your name has to rhyme with any past U.S. president, Reagan, I think would be a good.
That's a good thought. That's actually, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. It would be like Dobama or Dyden or Dinton or something.
Nope.
Reagan. We like Reagan. Yeah. Reagan's great.
That's a good one. That's a classic. Okay, Dagan, you got to tell us, number one, Black Pearl Pest Control sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It's like
the Black Pearl.
Yeah, Johnny Depp meets Black Flag. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's a pretty awesome classic combination there. How'd you guys come up with the name?
Well, during the time, like whenever we're looking at doing our name, I mean, there's obviously, I was thinking about adding something with my kids' names. I was thinking of adding something with my name, something with Arizona. There's a lot of State 48 here, which funny, there was a State 48 pest control that started after us. But I kind of was going through a couple of different things. And then I was stuck with Pearl Pest Control. And I was like, oh, let's do all of our trucks white. So they'll be nice, clean. Everything will be white. And I'm a big fan of like old trucks. My dad had like a 67 Chevy. And so I was looking at some of those and I saw one that was all black, all murdered out and lowered, everything like that. And I was like, oh, let's do Black Pearl Pest Control. And then the goal will just be to get one of those old Chevy trucks and that'll be like our show truck. So And that's kind of where we got the name. But
wait, so do you have a murdered out 67 Chevy as one of your service trucks?
That's the goal. Just to, like, I was thinking about even just like having one just for fun, maybe throwing like an old school like rig in it, just kind of for fun. But that's down the road. Definitely once we get a little bit bigger and don't have to worry about other things. But yeah, that's kind of like the thing that we're aiming for.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's your parade truck.
Yeah, that'd be a sweet parade truck, dude.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, you know, your hat and your shirt. Dude, that branding is awesome. Nice, yeah, it and looks clean.
Yep.
Yeah. We try to. That's one of the big things, is I try to make sure our images and our logos and everything is clean. I actually design most of all of our stuff. So pretty simple. That's kind of like what I like to have it is, like I said, clean and simple. So that's about it. Our trucks, they have our logo on the side and a couple of other stuff. It's not a full wrap. All of our trucks are off the show or whatever, all black, and then just our logo. So pretty simple.
Nice. Hmm. Awesome, dude. That's great.
So, I got a question about the truck. So when we do vehicles, they're like wrapped top to bottom, and it's kind of pricey to do it. When you're buying your rigs, you're just buying them just black off the lot like that, and then you just throw some simple branding on it.
Correct. Yeah. It saves us a little bit of money because, yeah, we looked at getting like white trucks and or just like a cheap work truck that's white, but to wrap it, I mean, it sucks to change the whole color. So with us, it does make it a little difficult, especially during COVID time when we had to buy trucks. Like, I just flew to New Mexico to pick up a Ford Maverick because it was black. Those are pretty hard to get a hold of right now. So that was the cheapest one I could find. So I flew out there, picked it up, and then we just got it all wrapped and everything like that just a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you've been in the pest control industry for 13 years. Can you give us just a brief synopsis of how you found yourself in the industry and how you got to where you are right now?
So I definitely wasn't thinking about pest control at all, kind of like everybody else, I feel like. I was at college and some guys came up from Bulwark to ask if we wanted to do door-to-door sales. And I was like, sure. So I went and did a couple of those things, came and sold in Arizona. Well, stayed in Arizona, sold here, was staying in the Valley in Phoenix, go to ASU. And kind of worked for them at ASU. I was going to ASU for a while. And then I was going to school to be a dentist. So I graduated from like pre-med from ASU. Decided I didn't want to be a dentist anymore. And I worked for a couple more years and then just decided I was kind of tired of working there. And so, yeah, May of 2020, right whenever all this stuff hit the fan is whenever I quit. My license came in on a Friday. And then on Monday, I already started like door-to-door knocking doors and everything like that. So it was an interesting time starting during COVID, that's for sure.
Yeah, so imagine. Right in the middle of 2020, dude, that's ballsy.
Yep.
It was, I mean, I had some stuff that was set up that made it a lot easier. I had a buddy that I worked for about 6 months during that time where I would work for him. And then it got to the point where I was too busy. So I quit from what he was doing or what I was helping out with him and then just went full time doing what I do. So
you started off and you were knocking doors in the beginning, right? Is that how you guys have been able to grow your business since 2020, or what's been your main growth method?
I knocked on doors for like 2 weeks. And that was, like I said, during COVID. It was like the beginning. So nobody knew what was happening. It was just like, stay away from me. Am I supposed to go knock doors? So it was just a weird time period. We started using Thumbtack. It was working really well for us at the beginning. It's definitely kind of gone downhill since then. But Thumbtack and then just anything that we could do to market ourselves, like Instagram, Facebook, just doing all that stuff made it so that we can grow. We've grown at a steady pace. It's not like we're like making huge leap and bounds, but we are definitely growing. We actually have thought about adding on like a door-to-door team either this year or next year.
Now, looking at some of the areas that you service, it's the entire Phoenix Valley. How many people are we talking about here?
Like customers for us or customers for the whole, like the Valley?
I mean, just people. Yeah, what's the population of the entire Phoenix Valley look like?
I don't even know. I think it's...
I mean, that's got to be millions.
I think it's like 4 million. I can't remember. Yeah. So, I mean, it's crazy. We do all of the Valley. And then I grew up in a small town called Globe, which like it's 2 hours from here. We had about 50 to 60 customers up there. And then a guy reached out to me about buying his company. So we bought his. We kind of just have grown from there, from that. The other day, we actually were driving out to California for a family vacation, and we stopped at one of our customers that's in Tonopah, which is, it's like going to California for us. Like our zone over there is called California.
We've got one of those too, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I was there, and then one of my technicians was in a town called Bayless, and that is probably a 3 to 4 hour drive distance timed. So it's a huge area we cover.
Wait, you're talking about from one far end from your California to the other end where your other technician was, you're saying that spread.
Yeah. It was like
from corner to corner.
3 to 4 hours.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. How do you do that routing wise? Do you just route everybody down here and then route everybody up there?
Yeah, that's kind of like, we have a guy that lives in Globe full time. It's like an hour and a half from our main branch. So he lives up there full time. We have like 250 customers up there. And so he takes care of all that. And then we have like three, me and two other technicians down here that take care of like the valley. It's a pretty big area. The guy that you guys are actually having on next, Hydra Pest Control, he's actually, we like butt up to each other on our service areas.
So. Okay. Okay.
Nice.
So you're like, there's almost a turf war there.
I call him and I'll actually ask him, I'm like, hey man, I have this job in Bayless. If you want it, you can take it, because he's actually closer to it. He doesn't like that area as much. So I'm just like, that's fine. So,
oh, you know what? Yeah. It's so cool to have good relationships like that in the industry.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, like it really is. It really is.
Yesterday, I actually sent him one that was a Northern Arizona that's in his area. It's on the reservation and it's like a, I don't know if it was a hospital or what it was, but yeah, usually I'll just call him and say, hey, if you want this, here you go. I referred him off to it and it's definitely beneficial for him.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think we've been hearing more and more about pest control companies being willing to kind of collaborate. And I think that's great. I mean, it's a win-win for him, win-win for you. Yep. Do you have other relationships like that with other pest control operators in your area, or is that kind of the only PCO friendship you have?
I'm a very quiet person. I'm not like one of those door-to-door guys that's super outgoing and like talks to everybody. Like I'm the guy that's like a wallflower. Like I sit on the wall and don't talk to people. So I only have like a good, like maybe four guys that I really talk to in the industry. And that's really about it. And that's, if I have questions, I mean, I usually ask them. That's, or I'll get on like any of those the Facebook groups and ask questions on there. But I don't tend to ask a lot of questions on some of those. It just seems everyone has their own opinion and some people are right and some people are idiots. So that's how I feel like when you ask a question on there, it's like, man, this is the dumbest question I asked. So,
oh, dude, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude, sometimes people throw out stuff on Facebook and it makes me want to just like message it and be like, hey, buddy, maybe we should take that thing down. Yeah. But for the most part, I think people are getting a lot better, especially if they're not too opinionated.
Well, that's the thing I love about Bug Bucks is that the whole vibe of Bug Bucks, this is not a place to be an unfriendly person.
Right? Yeah, I gave like, Jake the PR look. I'm like, hey, now.
This is not the place to be unfriendly person, yeah, right?
There you go.
Yeah. So and that's so great. I mean, very rarely do you have someone that's like being mean to people or being a jerk on any of the threads. And if you do, you just message them like, hey, that's not okay. And I think it's cool because that's why people come to that platform. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to ask questions and not have people jump down their throats.
Yeah. Well, plus like the idea that pest control, there's like one way to do it, you know, like there's so many different ways to do it. And depending on where you are, you know, like I would never recommend the same methods that we use in the Pacific Northwest as for someone like you who works in Phoenix, right? That's a completely different market. Yeah. You know, do you feel like there are unique things that you guys do in your market that are different than other companies in your market?
I feel like we do a lot of what other pest control companies don't do here. Like we specialize in termites, weeds, pest control, all that stuff. And then we also do bird work, but we do like a variety of like everything. So that kind of makes it easier for us because customers are like, we want to go with you because then it's you do pest control and the termites and the weed control. So it's like a one-stop shop. We do like literally everything. That definitely wasn't the easiest in the beginning to just jump off and do all that stuff because it was a learning curve. Pest control and weed control is definitely like a completely different animal. There's pest control. You can use one product that kills 100 different bugs. With weed control, we have to worry about like the water. We have to worry about adding a spreader sticker, just multiple things. It's just crazy. So
interesting. Wow.
So when you get into weed control, I mean, is that similar to people actually assuming you're going to take care of their lawn in general, or is it specifically just the weeds?
Just weeds.
We do have some customers. Obviously, we're here in Arizona where like 90% of the yards are just rock. So it's a lot easier for us here, I feel like, to just do weeds and just the rocks. Yeah, doing the treatments in just rock opposed to just doing treatments in just grass or lawn is completely different. So it's different products, different treatments, everything like that. So
I don't mean to get in the weeds here, but how much of your business is weed control versus pest control? And do you have different rigs set up for one thing or another thing? Or do you just have everything kind of all in one truck? Like, how do you manage
kind of all in one truck? Most of our trucks are the Chevy Silverados. So we have two reels and two tanks on there. So 50 gallons on each side. And so we'll generally run the termites and the weeds out of one and then pest control out of another. And then we have a side-by-side, like a little John Deere that we use to do all of that. And then our little Ford, my baby truck is what my kids call it, is our Ford Maverick. That one's just doing pest control. It's so small. So
your John Deere side-by-side. So what do you do huge jobs with that? You cover a lot of area and you trailer it in, or?
Yeah. So actually today I did an acre property. I have an HOA that I'm doing later today that it was about 15 acres. On Monday, we're starting a new one that's just 10 acres of grass. That's just the grass. So I think the granite's probably going to be like 2 to 3 acres. So we're actually in the process of looking at adding either a flatbed truck to carry all of that, or we're looking at adding a couple of different things right now just to make it easier, because filling up for weeds, like hundreds of gallons, is like the most time consuming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
And then what? Then you apply with a boom sprayer or something behind that you pull behind the John Deere?
So we have a boomless sprayer. So it's essentially a boom sprayer, but it doesn't have the arms that go down. It has a little nozzle, a little tip that will shoot 18 feet in one direction. So we have two of those. So we can essentially spray like 36 feet. It makes it nice because whenever you're going around trees and bushes, you don't have to worry about breaking those booms. This one just sits in the very back of the truck or in the back of the side-by-side, and you just drive. So it makes it nice and easy.
Oh, that's cool.
So with the, you know, the big account like an HOA, when they originally called you, was it a question about the weeds or was it a question about insect control?
Like just weeds. So I was driving. It was actually just a couple of weeks ago that this guy called us for this account. I was just driving. So with my trailer and then our side-by-side on, he's like, hey man, I'm driving. I see your truck. What's your guys' availability to do some weeds for an HOA? And I was like, I could probably do it next week. So he's like, awesome. And so since then, he's given us like two other accounts, and they're big accounts. Like they're 20 acres properties. So that's awesome. He's going to talk to the HOAs for me about starting to do their pest control.
Is that a pretty common thing that you get leads that come in the door for, is it more for weeds and then you guys do an add-on for general pest, or is it the other way around?
It's a seasonal thing. So weeds right now here in Arizona, it's spring and fall are the worst time. So we actually got some rain the last couple of months. And so last couple of weeks, so weeds are popping up like crazy. So our main focus, yeah, is general pest control. But these seasons right now is like, we do weed jobs every single day. That's all I have done in the last like 3 or 4 days is completely weed jobs.
That's pretty wild. So with your marketing, how does your marketing, do you have to like split it up? Like you market for weeds and you market for pest control, or you just kind of like combine it? Like how do you do that?
Our marketing right now hasn't been the best because I've been so busy trying to catch up on stuff.
So you're the marketing guy. You're doing your own marketing.
Yes. We were hiring. We had somebody that was doing some stuff for us and then we stopped using her. And then we were looking at doing some other social, like SEO or whatever. But no, recently I've been looking at trying to hire somebody new. I just don't have time. That's the sucky part about what I do is like, obviously you guys know I wear many hats and I'm one of those guys that will fix stuff. I was up until 11 o'clock the other day fixing stuff on our truck and trailer because I had to leave at 5 o'clock the next day. So it's like, I got to find someone to take that stress from me. And I'm not one of those guys too that's like, I've got to finish this job so I can go to the next one. And I don't have time to stop and take videos and pictures and all that stuff.
Yep. You know what, dude, I totally, totally relate to that, but you don't mind. I'm going to take a couple steps backwards here. So, you know, when you're talking about how you started and how you started in the industry and then like your path to business ownership and your path to being a pest control, a PCO, it's so familiar to me and to Eric and to probably so many PCOs where, you know, we've said on the show before here where no kid is sitting in class in second grade and his teacher says, what do you want to be when you grow up? And all the other kids around him are saying firemen and I want to be an astronaut and I want to be a cowboy. And then Dagan says, I want to be a pest control company owner. You know, like that just doesn't happen. So your story of you're in school, you got recruited to go sell door to door and it kind of becomes a golden handcuffs, right? Because as soon as you get good at it, then doing anything else just doesn't make any sense at all. You graduate, you're on track to become a dentist, and dentists make great money. But then just meeting you here, I can tell you're not the kind of guy to sit in a white coat and just be stuck in an office all day long. So where did that realization come? Like, how did that come to you? Was it like an epiphany, like a bright light? Or did you just one day say, I don't want to spend my life in people's mouths? Like, how did that happen for you?
I don't know. Like, I looked at a couple of different things. Like, I originally went to school for nursing, and then it was like nurse anesthetist. And then I finally got to dentist. And then I worked at Bulwark as a sales guy towards the end of my career for like 5 to 6 years in a cubicle. I was watching YouTube because I was a sales guy. So we just made commission. It wasn't hourly. So I would sit there and watch YouTube or whatever all day and like try to pass the time because a phone call would take 5 minutes. And I was like, this sucks. Like, I do not see progressing in life. I don't see any changes. Like, this isn't what I was made to do. And so that's when I really started.
So you're doing inbound.
Correct.
You're doing inbound sales you weren't going door to door necessarily. You're taking inbound.
I did door to door for like the first summer that I worked for them. I was a weird position at Bulwark because I had the ability to sell and then I had the ability to spray. So I was just kind of weird. I was like that unicorn person, I'd say. Like, I was like the guy that could sell, but I'm also the guy that can work to get crap done. And so when I was there, I did a lot of things. I was actually supposed to go to a school in Hawaii. I got accepted to BYU Hawaii. I was supposed to go there with Bulwark, like as a sales guy, and then they decided not to go. So I got brought back into the office, kind of just stayed in the office and sprayed whenever I could. So sorry, that was a little bit of a tangent, but yeah, that's...
No, you know what? That's perfect. So in other words, what you're saying is you, with your experience from being on the doors and then doing inbound stuff, you know, and your other experiences and doing the service side of things, you're kind of like primed. Like, you had the building blocks there for Dagan to go out and start Black Pearl Pest Control. Like, it was all kind of there. And then you went, when you started COVID times, you went out and you were knocking doors. How'd you do that? Knock on the door and then walk back and stand on the sidewalk?
Yeah, I just walked back a couple of feet. But I mean, that was about it. I was one of those guys that didn't really wear masks the whole time during COVID. So it was kind of just like, I just kind of treated COVID kind of like how it was just normal life for me. So
did people take it real seriously there in Phoenix, in Arizona?
In some places, I would say yes. But I would say I was kind of different in the COVID time because I worked for my company or for Black Pearl. And then I worked for my buddy's off-road shop. We were both considered essential because he was like a repair shop type thing. And so my life just kept going. Like, it was nice because there was no traffic going to and from work.
I remember those days.
Yeah, those were nice. Huh?
Yeah.
So like during COVID time, I mean, I was just, to me, it was just kept working. Like, I worked so hard during everything that it was like, it never really changed my look at it because I just treated it like normal. So
during 2020, at the end of 2019, we were slated to have, I think we've said it before on the show, something almost like 50 reps were going to come up here and put on accounts for us. We had a team in Portland and then we had a team in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And then COVID hit and it spooked everybody. Like, everybody just kind of split. And Washington was one of the most shut down states. Like, we have contractor friends that were doing work for us in 2020. And they were like right in the middle of a project. Like, part of our basement floor was torn up and they were like, well, we're just going to keep working. And we actually had neighbors because we live on a country road, right? We had neighbors that called the cops and said, oh, there's people come up here. They're spreading COVID and we're all going to die or whatever, you know? So during COVID, all of our sales team just like basically disappeared. And I think we had maybe 4 guys up here in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I guess I'll go knock doors. So I hadn't knocked doors for a whole summer for a long time.
Yeah.
And then 2020, I went out and I knocked doors with the guys and put on 150 or 100 something accounts, you know, in that summer. But when you started, how long did you knock? Were you trying to put on like a solid customer base or are you just trying to get started? How long did you knock?
2 weeks.
Okay.
Because like I said, it was just during that time of COVID where it was just like, we didn't know what was going on. And Thumbtack, like I said, was really kicking off for us. Like, we did really well with Thumbtack because our response rate was like, I would get a message and like literally stop what I was doing and call the customer right away. And they're like, hey, you're the first person. We'll just go with you. So once the 2 weeks hit and I was just like, this is kind of getting ridiculous because nobody knows what's going on, I just looked more towards the thumbtack stuff. And then that's really what boosted us up, just because we were getting like 2 to 3 new customers off of thumbtack a day, I would say.
That's what you get on the doors anyway. If half the people aren't answering the doors, that's what you're going to get anyway. Oh, that's awesome.
No, it was really good. Like I said, we were killing it on there, just because like I would literally stop and just response time was just, that's what made the difference, is like I'd stop what I was doing, I'd call right away, and then just availability. I mean, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, is like, I would drive, like the Phoenix is huge. I would be like, hey, I'll be out there tonight. I'll be out there tomorrow, first thing in the morning. And they like that because it's like, you know, pest control. It's like, hey, I see a bug. I want the bug dead now.
So my wife can get off the kitchen counter.
Yeah. I feel like thumbtack really helped us at the beginning, just because we were able to be so available and get things done.
I'm glad that you bring up thumbtack, because I know that it gets a bad rap. And like you said already, it's kind of gone a little bit downhill. Like anytime a new lead generation platform pops up, the first people that kind of go and use it in a market usually get the majority of the benefits from it. And then as other businesses come into it and kind of flood that market, then you have less leads to go around. Mm-hmm. But for new businesses, especially, like lead sharing platforms like Thumbtack could actually be a pretty good opportunity, because no one likes to share leads. I mean, to be fair, right? Like it's not a fun thing to do. But if you're like Dagan, who has a really good response time and you have really good availability, something comes in and you're like, oh yeah, you have this issue, I'm happy to be out there.
I'll be there.
This afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, right? If you can pull that off, Thumbtack and some of these other lead sharing platforms can actually be really beneficial in the beginning, right? When you don't want to compete on Google and spend $100+ per lead. So that'd be pretty sweet. I wanted to ask you this earlier before we switched gears, but let's see, Black Pearl Pest Control is 3 years old, right? It's 2023. Are you in your fourth year now?
May will be our fourth year. We'll be going into our fourth
year. Okay, so May will be your fourth year.
Just say 4 years then, Dave.
Yeah.
You've earned it.
We are 4 years old. What's your big focus this year? You know, what's Black Pearl up to in 2024 that you're really trying to put a lot of effort and energy into?
Just having our technicians be more uniform, I would say. I don't know if I heard it on your guys' podcast. I know I've heard it before. It's just like, I want everything to be similar. Like obviously we always have one of those good technicians that's like, hey, we want this guy and that's it. I want it to be like, hey, like I want it to be like Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out, where you know you're going to get the same thing from every technician. So that's like one of our big things that I really want to push for. And then just figuring some more stuff out with the marketing so that we can get those golden customers. And then, I don't know, I'm trying to think of anything else. Like, that's really about it. I just want our technicians to be like, I hate getting a call from one of our customers saying, hey, this guy forgot a D-Web. And it's like, dude, that's the easiest thing. Like, just go do it. Like,
dude, you just touched a hot button. You know what I call those? I call those $2,000 spider webs with our company, with our technician. $2,000 wasp nest, right? We had a company meeting yesterday and one of our tech leaders got up and he was talking about de-webbing and taking care of customers. And he's like, yeah. And like Jake says, they're $2,000 wasp nests. And I was like, thank you. I'm glad that you guys are listening.
Finally.
Finally, I'm not the one preaching that.
That's a good thing to put in, I feel like, because I feel like our technicians, they don't just see that. Like they don't see like, hey, like if you lose this customer from taking down a cobweb, or for us, if we spray a stupid plant that we shouldn't have sprayed that looks like a weed, like that was a big one. We lost like $1,000 account because they sprayed and killed a bush, a tiny one. But it's just like, if you piss off somebody enough at times, like with not taking down their cobwebs, then we lose the customer. And that's like $500 a year or $600. Like it just depends on what the customer is.
Well, and you know, you multiply that by how many years they could have been there, right? And you have to consider, you know, if they have a bad experience, what are they likely to do? Probably go on Google, right? Leave you a tough review, which that impacts your ability to bring in leads. Yep. And then if they loved you, if you didn't make a mistake, they probably would have brought you referrals. But since you made the mistake, now those referrals don't exist. Yep. So like that could be $2,000 just in that customer, but it could be tens of thousands of dollars in lost network opportunity because that customer canceled because you forgot to sweep down a wasp nest or a cobweb, right? Like the long-term impact that some of that stuff has. And from a technician standpoint, like a frontline colleague standpoint, you're not really thinking about a lot of that stuff. And I understand why, you know. At our meeting that we had yesterday, we had this big company-wide meeting, and Jake spent a significant amount of time talking about this new ingenious method that he came up with to create like new SOPs and SOGs. And he was involving all the technicians in that process and getting them to design these new SOPs and SOGs. And we're really, really excited to get the company to a point where it's a lot more fine-tuned. And right now we have those standard procedures to kind of make sure that the quality we deliver is consistent across the board. But as we grow and scale, you know, we can see little inconsistencies pop up, and man, we're trying to get rid of those as much as possible.
I like what you said about, you know, you go to Chick-fil-A or anywhere it's like it's uniform. You know, it's like that because they focus on culture. They focus on the customer experience.
Yep.
They focus on uniformity. And it's awesome. And, you know, sometimes you have to kind of ride the line between uniformity and the quality is there and uniformity. And it becomes like an assembly line factory cheeseburger situation like McDonald's, where it's just like, you know, you kind of lose a little bit of the culture.
Yeah, it's quick, but hey, you know, at least it's whatever.
Yeah, it's volume.
No. Yeah, no, that's one of our things. I mean, I just want to make sure everything's, like I said, uniform. Like every technician is spraying the exact same. I mean, I know it's hard because everyone is their own person, but it's like, it would be awesome if, yeah, everyone could just do the exact same thing, but it's just not, it's not a possibility. But even if we have like a checklist, like even a, I was thinking about putting even a stupid sticky note in a truck that just says, hey, D-Web, gate, talk to the customer, just little things like that. Just so it's like, did you do these? Because if you didn't do these, like there's repercussions. Like you got to understand, like these are things to make sure the customers are happy. They don't leave. Like just a simple text on the way there, just saying, hey, I'm on my way there. Like that, customers like that stuff because they know you're coming and that they can prepare for it. So.
Oh yeah. What is the consistent quality creates consistently happy customers? Something like that.
We'll take that.
So, yeah, we'll take that
one. I'd buy that pamphlet. That sounds good. Yeah.
Dagan, so I know we're running short on time. What advice do you have for our audience? You know, anybody who might be in kind of your similar situation, what would you say? Pro tips from you.
Put your head down and work. Like that's one of my biggest things is like, I've definitely have grown up well, like a hardworking person. I definitely get that from my dad, but I mean, just work. You could have the best trucks, you can have all the best stuff, but if your service sucks and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, just try to do your best and all you can. Literally just put your head down and work and things will happen for you.
Dude, love it, man.
Amen to that, dude. That's awesome.
100%. So if people want to reach out to you, if they want to follow you guys, if they want to support you, what's the best way that they can do that?
I mean, our Instagram is at Black Pearl Pest. My personal one is Dagan Perry, I believe. So, but it's pretty easy. There's not a lot of Dagan Perrys out there. Emails dagan@blackpearlpest.com. It's definitely easy to find me if you spell my name right.
Perfect.
D-E-G-A-N.
No, you got it wrong. It's D-E-G-E-N, like Deegan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, like Deegan, like Ronald Reagan.
I get so many people that I have a buddy that calls me Deegan for years, and I've just never corrected him. And then finally it was like, dude, it's Dagan. And I just got.
What's his name? I'll tell him. Text me his name. I'll tell him. Hey, dude, you've been saying his name wrong.
Oh, he knows now. He's actually one of my good friends. Like, we rent our office from him. Like, I'm in our office, and his office is attached to us. So.
Oh, man.
Dude, Dagan, it's been awesome, man. Love having you on the show. We'll have to check back in with you at the end of the season and just see how things are going. You'll have to keep us updated on all the awesome stuff you guys have going on. For everybody listening, of course, we appreciate you listening in. If you have a coworker, manager, or owner who could benefit from listening to this episode, the best way to say thank you to us is to share this episode with them. If you haven't joined the Facebook group yet, go to the group and join. It's Bug Bucks Plus. Lots of information and great connections in there. And if you have a topic you want discussed on the show, drop it in the group. As always, this episode is brought to you by Bug Bucks Plus, the number one training and education platform designed to help you build and scale your pest control company. Visit bugbucksplus.com to sign up and start building today. Thanks again for listening in. And until next time, keep building those pest control companies.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bug Bucks podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please show your support by subscribing and leaving us a 5-star rating. Thank you. And we'll catch you on next week's episode.